to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's draw with Falkirk, preview this Saturday's game against Montrose, and we'll hear from manager Jim McAnally, Brett Long and Grant Savory. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as always is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Yourself?
I'm not too bad. Pushing into November already. Last week of October, can we believe it? No, we can't.
We'll touch on it. It's the nights are starting to draw in as well. Will we get that out of the way nice and early this week?
I do like this time of year, though. I have to say it's my preferred kind of time of year, although it's still unseasonably warm outside. But it is, as you said, it's getting darker at night and it is getting colder, so that's the way I like it.
Nicely
summed up there. So lots to kind of go through again this week, as it seems to be each week, which is fine. First thing we are going to touch on is a known Peterhead related story. Big story in Scottish football on Tuesday was the death of Walter Smith, former Rangers and Scotland manager. Big name, legendary name within the Scottish game. 24 hours since the news broke. Any thoughts?
Well, obviously it's very disappointing, and I think you can see how well liked he was, not throughout just club football, but throughout Scotland and even across the globe as well. The amount of well wishes that I've seen on Twitter, you know, when it happened, within minutes there was many people, big names as well, within the game tweeting about it and passing on their condolences. I think it just shows you the type of person he was. Never met Walter personally, but I think many people who have, up in this part of the world, have only got good things to say about him.
Yeah, he's managed to somehow bridge that divide between the two teams in Glasgow. He's well liked at both sides, I think. His friendship with Tommy Burns obviously helped that as well, as we've seen him carrying Tommy's coffin at his funeral as well. But his record stands alone. He's second to none, 21 trophies in his time at Rangers, including 10 league titles, 7 of them in a row in his first spell, and then 3 in a row in his second spell, which is something that I don't think we're ever going to see again.
No, I think that sort of days are gone. You're never going to see a manager really doing that. It's ironic, we touched on it last week, the managers out there, it's a short career they seem to have at clubs nowadays, and for a man like Walter to do that with Rangers. But as I said, he was well liked throughout Scottish football. I don't think anybody's got a bad word to say about him. And yeah, it was a difficult day for everyone in Scottish football yesterday.
Yeah, no, I think you'd have to be made of stone if you haven't seen the Ali McCoy's tribute to him and not have a tear in your eye, because that was very heartfelt, and a guy who obviously was started off as his boss, and as Ali said, became a friend and a father figure to him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard it at my lunch yesterday. Yeah, it's quite touching. I think Rangers also put out a tweet as well with a montage of the clips and videos with music, and again, it's very touching, and as you said, you need to be a heart made of stone not to, to be moved at them tributes.
Obviously thoughts to Walter's family and everybody connected with him at this sad time, and it was it's a sad day that we've lost another legend within the Scottish game. So thoughts to his family, as I said. So on to Peterhead news then. We'll start with last Saturday's game against Falkirk. Lots to kind of I don't know how, you know, 0-0 it was. I think in the end it was a good point.
Yeah, if you'd said to me before the game, we'd have gotten a point. I know that Falkirk are on a poor bit of form. The management team there is under a bit of pressure, but nonetheless, you've still got to play the game. And I thought overall, as the game went on, the longer the game went, I thought there was only going to be one winner within it, and it looked like Falkirk. I think a point, we're pleased at the end of the game to come away with that, to be honest.
The two changes from the previous game, Duffy came in for the injured Ryan Conroy, McLean came in for McDonald, which at the time we thought was a strange one. We thought we might have stuck with the back three, but as it transpires, there was reasons for that. And I think largely for the first 5-10 minutes. I thought we did well. We controlled the ball. We had lots of possession, and we kind of thought, well, we're maybe onto something here for the remainder of the game. But it didn't sort of pan out that way.
As you said, first 5-10 minutes, I thought we looked good. You mentioned in your commentary that it was short passes. It was on the deck, but it was like sort of in triangles as well. The ball was moved around nicely on the ground, moved it about, and we looked good. A bit like the game at home the week, 2 weeks prior, the Dumbarton game, we started off really well. And we thought, you know, if you're going to get it, Falkirk, as I said, they were under pressure, getting their faces early on, we could be onto something here. But the longer the half went, Falkirk, as you'd expect with their quality, they sort of came back into the game and then took over in midfield. We then got the injury to Simon Ferry as well, and things just sort of went a wee bit awry from there, I think.
Did you expect a reaction from what happened last week in terms of the 3-0 loss to Airdrie for Falkirk, and what had happened, transpired there last week with the Q&A? So did you expect a kind of reaction from, you know, both the players and the Falkirk supporters?
Is that a statement or is that a question? Sorry, you teed it up quite nicely there. Yeah, I did expect a reaction. And I think, had there not been a reaction, I think it would have been even more alarming than what there was. You know, Paul Sheeran, he was a frustrated figure on the touchline on Saturday. There was a few things that just didn't quite go Falkirk's way. And you could see it's in for the want of trying. Mm-hmm. But he was bitterly disappointed, and more so with set pieces. Very windy at Balmoral on Saturday, it's nothing unusual, but you've got to play the conditions, and I don't think both teams really acquit themselves that great. But yeah, he looked a frustrated figure, but I think a reaction for his team, the players, coaching staff, was, you know, a minimum of what he was expecting, and he'd have been disappointed when he left on Saturday night. He had 3 points.
You mentioned the injury to Ferry early on. I think that was the start of where things started to go kind of wrong. It upset the flow slightly. As Ferry does, he obviously he dictates the play. He gets the pass going. What he does is he obviously takes the ball from the centre halves, and then he sort of looks for the passes and gets the midfield going. Whereas once he disappears, suddenly that option isn't there, and they just want to sort of hump it long. Did you think that's where things went kind of awry slightly, that the flow didn't carry on?
Yeah, I think it did have an impact, maybe indirectly. I think when Simon Ferry went off, we've seen Scott Brown come deeper, and as we've said before, Scott Brown's better in the attacking role than he is at a defensive role. Whilst he can do it very well, he's just better, I think, in the attacking sense. And I think Falkirk sort of exploited that, particularly in the start of the second half. They looked a lot better going forward. They looked like they were creating good chances, and I do think it was the fact that, as you said, Simon sort of screens in front of that back three or back four. He takes the ball, and then we build an attack or build a passage of play up from there. And then he's missing. You do miss that link, because sometimes it does go for back to front a wee bit too, maybe a bit earlier than we would like to see.
Yeah, you lose that attacking impetus from Scott as well. I know he's box to box and probably prefers to be that as well. And I think his natural instinct is to go forward, even though. He was maybe asked to play that slightly deeper role, but he just wants to go forward, and I think that's where particularly Nesbitt managed to get a lot of space. He was sort of floating around and wasn't being picked up. They did create some chances first half. I would say comfortable saves from Ruth and Nesbitt, from Brett Long. Nothing that you would say, well, yeah, that's a good save. It was comfortable chances, I would say.
Yeah, it's sort of chances that you'd expect your goalkeeper to save. As you said, there was nothing too outrageous. He's got to deal with the wind, but he acquitted himself very well. There was kind of difficult as well. He'd maybe face a shot and parry it into the striker coming on, and he'd deal with it as well as what he should do. But no, he did really well on Saturday considering the wind that was faced with him.
A couple of the chances later on in the half came from mistakes created by our own players, particularly at the back. Is that something that it's still concerning? And obviously, if we hadn't had Brett on the form that he was on Saturday, obviously, you know, we could have been 2 or 3 doing it at half time.
Yeah, the mistakes have been something we've spoken about for episode one during the podcast. It's something that I don't think we'll ever get rid of. Whilst I feel the mistakes are coming down, it just seems that the mistakes that we're making now are more costly. I think that the league as a whole in the last 2 years has improved a lot as well. So the chances that your goalkeeper's facing are creating better, the better movement in front of you. Like you said, if it hadn't been for Brett Long's form, which I think we could say is right back to game one with Brett Long being in goals, he has saved us a fair few points already this season.
Yeah, and I think going in at half time 0-0, I think Jim certainly would have been the happier of the two managers.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, Paul Sheeran was a frustrated figure on the touchline. And I think, as I said, the wind, it was sort of with Falkirk in that first half, that didn't create overly much for our keeper to be worried about. Going in at half time, I think Jim would have been the happier of the two guys.
And he would have expected then to come out for the second half with the wind behind them, but for some reason the wind completely died down, and I think that was rather telling for the second 45.
Yeah, started the second half, Falkirk really. They showed their quality, McDade and Nisbet, really, for a 10-minute period, everything they touched going forward, they looked good. They were beating us, 2 men at a time. There were a lot of flicks, intricate passes. They looked really, really good, and you felt that there was a goal around the corner, but Brett pulled off a fantastic save, and then the rebound went over the bar. And I think that just sort of summed up maybe the afternoon for Falkirk, that they'd created good opportunities, definitely in the second half, not so much in the first, but they created this good opportunity. And then when they get the rebound, he blasted it over. Was it Ruth?
Ruth, yeah.
Blasted it over. And again, I had a quick look at Paul Sheeran. He sort of just gone back into his dugout in disbelief. He couldn't believe it. So again, we've got Brett to thank for getting the point.
I think that's kind of where they're at the moment. His first one was on target. It was well saved. It comes right back to him. And a little bit more kind of composure.
Yeah.
He's almost got an empty net to put it in. But there's almost that kind of anxiety for them to get that goal and try and get the lead, but he smashed it over, which obviously was good for us.
I think they just tried to force it a little bit too much, as you said. If he'd a little bit more composure, easy for us to say sat here in the commentary box on a Saturday, but a little bit more composure, and they'd have taken the lead, and you'd have felt it'd been difficult for us to get back into it had they gone 1-0 up. But thankfully, as I said, Brett Long, thank for that.
Yeah, you mentioned McDade won as well, 1-1, which was quite early on in the half. Again, terrific save. We'll hear Jim's comments later on, but his shot stopping is just, he's got to be up there with one of the better keepers in the league at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that we've picked him up in a free as well, obviously he was at East Fife last season, for us to get a goalkeeper of that quality, it just gives you a little bit more belief in your defence and your goalkeeper, that you've got somebody that can pull off saves like that. I dare say he's worth at least 5-6 points already this season. Again, he won on Saturday, plenty of saves, and good saves. It's not just one that you look at like 30-40 yards out and he's just making a save. They're good saves. And I think over the course of the season, he'll be a big difference for how far we end up in the table.
Yeah, we should say it wasn't a one-way traffic completely. There was a couple of chances, one a bigger chance than the other. First one was for David Wilson down the right hand side. Now initially when we saw it on Saturday, I thought it was just a misplaced kind of cross, and he's just made a complete mess of it. But actually, going by the highlights that Falkirk put out, because their camera was at that side, he's actually gone for a shot, because he spotted Paddy Martin just anticipating the cross. A better shot. He's in, and we're all praising him. But yeah, it's
ambitious.
It was ambitious, yes. But he had the kind of the thinking to try it and just try something different.
Yeah, give him credit. He's got the foresight to see that, as you said, Paddy Martin sort of coming forward, anticipating the cross, and he's trying to be quite clever and astute. It's maybe, with respect to him, you'd want to. Better quality player in that instance.
Josh Mulligan would have scored for there, let's put it that way.
Yeah. The blue team Cafu himself.
Aye.
Had he caught it better and the better connection, then yeah, you never know. Paddy Martin could have been in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, he would have been looking a bit embarrassed at that one. But I think the biggest one was for Rusty, put through brilliantly by Savory. It's what he's gone through. He's done everything right. He's got the ball. He's got away from the defender, and then he's got it on target. Let's say that. And it was a comfortable save for Martin in the end. But when you've got limited chances, that's the kind of ones that you look to take.
Yeah, as you said, when you don't get many chances, you've got to make the best of the opportunities that you're given. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. You might have done something different, but for me, it was just, you could almost see where the ball was going to go, hence the reason Paddy Martin made a comfortable save, as you said, because if we can see in the commentary box, then you know, you're rest assured that the goalkeeper's came roughly far. But
should do.
You know, you almost guess, the goalkeeper's almost guessing where it's going to go. But yeah. I think in that sort of instance, they know roughly where the striker's going to go. They'll do their homework and their research and, you know, favoured foot and where they normally take their shots from. As you said, comfortable save.
Is it a case maybe in trying to look for an excuse, but it was one of that kind of games where Rusty didn't have any sort of time on the ball. Literally that was his first effort on goal, and it was on his weaker side, and he was obviously just trying to keep it on target rather than maybe try to hit it, smash it harder. Yeah. Maybe if he had a couple of more efforts during the game and had more of the ball, maybe felt a little bit more comfortable.
Potentially, but the only thing I would say to that one is, in this division, I don't think he's going to be getting 3, 4, or 5 opportunities per game.
Yeah.
You know, you could say that Falkirk at home maybe isn't as tough as games that we might encounter throughout the season. But as you said, he didn't exactly get many chances, but you need your striker to, if he's feeding on scraps, and you've got to try and do the best with that you're going to get. As I said, he's not going to get 3, 4, 5 opportunities per game. So when they do come along, I know it's a difficult chance in the end, but he's got to do just a little bit better.
Mm. Best save of the game was left to near the end. Again, Ruth was involved. Brilliant volley. He's absolutely catched it brilliantly. Got it on target, and Brett's pulled off another brilliant save. I think probably his fourth or fifth in the game.
I think it was the first time that a set piece had actually been delivered well within the game, and that's by both teams. It was critical on that on Saturday. I thought the first couple you can sort of legislate for, but thereafter, you know, the players have got to adjust. But as you said, beautiful volley. Got to admit, as soon as the ball left his foot, I thought it was going in the back of the net to see Brett Long dive across. And I think the save was made, it was parried out wide, and a couple of his players were congratulating Brett, but the first thing, he's sort of like pushing him away and saying, like, you know, because the ball's still in play. And again, I think that's the mark of the man as well. He's made a really good save. He's not just happy with the save and taking the plaudits. He's getting the guys regrouped again because he knows that ball's coming back in, and it is worthy of a point.
And it was a good save. As you said, he's managed to parry it, but he's parried it wide as well. I think, obviously, the force of the shot has managed to help him with how far he got it wide.
Yeah.
But he's got strong wrists, strong hands to get keep it. Yeah, it's quite easy for it just to go through him.
Yeah, absolutely. A terrific save, and I think we've said it, that I think you'll be Keith in commentary as well, says you'll find a better save that weekend, and you'd have been hard pushed for it. A really good save. And sort of just sums up the game for Falkirk. Even their best effort on target couldn't get past Brett Long. He had a really good game. He was man of the match. And I think many people couldn't really doubt that, to be honest.
Yeah, was the loss of Nye at half-time as well a bit of a blow as well? Because it's probably a blow for him as well, just the fact that he's just come back from injury.
Yeah.
He seems to be finding his form again and playing well, and he's gone off at half-time. Is that maybe affected the game plan slightly as well?
I think so, because Falkirk sort of played that 5 yards further forward as well. Russell McLean's not exactly going to go in behind you, he's more of the target man, whereas I think when you've got Naya and Rusty playing, you've always got the opposition defence, sorry, he's always got to be worried about that running behind from Naya somewhere across the back line. So I think when he went off, the Falkirk defence sort of pushed up 5 yards further forward, which again squeezed the game but made it more difficult for us to try and get anything going forward wise.
Yeah, one last thing on the game, it was we talk about the reaction of the Falkirk players and supporters. Disappointing, I think, slightly with the amount of Falkirk supporters there, just 200, the lowest that there's ever been there. Good crowd for Peter overall, over 700, which is good to see, but slightly disappointed with the amount of travelling supporters.
For a club the size of Falkirk, but having, as you said, the AGM didn't really go well on the Monday.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, one of the guys that had mentioned, and clearly it wasn't a question, it definitely was a statement that he made about being one of the best supported clubs, not just in the league, but in Scotland, and you fail to have 200 turn up to a game at Peterhead.
I think, given the result that they had the week before, getting beat by Airdrie quite convincingly in the end, the AGM, which didn't really go to plan if you're a Falkirk supporter. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to be making them the trip up to what is normally a cold, windy Peterhead? I can't really blame the Falkirk supporters, to be honest. Like most people, were delighted Fitba's back, but you know, they've spent their hard-earned money. If the club, you know, it certainly seems from the outside, you read forums that there is a divide between Falkirk and their supporters. Mm-hmm. So do you really want to travel all the way up to Peter? Probably not. So credit to the ones that didn't make the journey.
Absolutely. And we should mention as well, a big thank you to Keith Robertson for finally joining us at the third time of asking on commentary. It was great to have his company. And again, somebody who did really well, I thought, and came across really well as well. And as we've mentioned before, it just gives us a different sort of insight to a game that he's played there. He knows what like it is as well.
Well, what I love about everybody's coming commentary so far is they all say that it's not really their sort of thing. They're quite nervous about it. But you listen to them all back, you wait until the second half, and they're really into it, they're really seeing the game, and they seem to be enjoying it. And I don't think there's anybody yet that said they wouldn't have come back. Whether they're just saying that is a different matter. But, you know, we're really appreciative of the guys that do come on and give us a hand.
Yeah. So we'll get Jim's thoughts on the game now. This is what he had to say.
So, was that a good point in the end, or was that 2 points dropped?
No, that's a great point. I don't think we played as well as we can play. We seemed to get lost in the wind in the first half, and obviously the changes don't help. We had to change our team early with Simon coming off, and he's obviously a massive loss to us. And then I felt we were a wee bit all over the place at times in the first half, where we were just hanging on a wee bit. And so we get to half time, obviously, Brett's a couple of really good saves. But you get to half time and you think, right, okay, we're still in it. And we come out for the second half, Naya runs on the pitch, and then comes back and tells us he can't continue. So we then had to throw in a substitute. Was it again having the time to plan for it?
And the wind was
doing a wee bit, and I just felt we were a wee bit again. Wee Lyle's not played for a wee while, and he was a wee bit all the place, and we were trying different shapes. And I felt about 20 minutes in that we would change to 5-4-1 and just try and get in touch with each other so that we were in a position to, you know, stoke, filling in the holes a wee bit. And I think we'd done that. I felt as though, I mean, Brett's last really good save was to be a corner, it wasn't as if they opened us up. I felt as though once we changed, you know, we were counter-attacking okay. Was it ever looking like really score? You know, Russell's one chance really when he's through. We didn't want the goalkeeper enough. We didn't play particularly well, so it's a great point against a full-time team who, you know, have been planning for the game all week and working on stuff, and so therefore it's a good point considering we didn't play well.
Was that the disappointing thing in the end, that you didn't test their keeper enough? I think maybe only McLean had the one effort towards the end of the game.
Well, I mean, obviously it cancels itself out the fact we've got a clean sheet.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said to you before that we need to learn to draw when we're not playing well, and I think we've done that today. I mean, they probably think that they've played quite well, which if they have, but I don't think we played well, so that was a good point.
And at the other end, how good was your keeper today? He's been brilliant so far this season, but he just showed his class again today.
Nah, he's his short stopping in particular has been really good. His last performance at Falkirk was really good. Also, he made loads of saves that day. And the thing for me is when he makes the last save, you see him celebrating it, and that is really good. And him and Lenny have built up a wee rapport, which has helped a wee bit. It's been tough for Lenny because, you know, obviously we were, you know, getting a shot about now. Brett just, his performance has been that good. Even Lenny said to me, you can't leave him out, you know. So it was particularly good for him to get a clean sheet out of that. He deserved it with, you know, three of the saves, I thought. But I just felt in general the last 20 minutes I felt we were quite compact, because I wasn't happy with Lee Flynn in the first half. He wasn't getting near enough his man, but in the second half he was nice and tight. So it was fine. I was going to start Andy McDonald, but he's been away working in England all week, here, there, and everywhere, and back up here today again. And so it's just one of the things. And obviously, Andy McCarthy's somebody I hate subbing, but they were trying to get him sent off. I just felt, no, we can't risk it.
And just finally, the injuries to Simon and Naya, how are they?
Naya's could be pretty bad. It looks like his ankle, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a massive divot coming out of the turf, and his ankle's pretty swollen. It might be a ligament. Simon's just tightened up, his hamstrings have tightened up, so I don't think he's too bad. He could be okay for next week.
So obviously pleased with the point. He mentions there that you know, getting a draw when you're not playing well is something that doesn't happen very often. I think the amount of times that maybe would have lost that game last season or the season before. But yeah, he's obviously happy with the point in the end.
Yeah, and rightly so. As Jim mentioned himself, you've got to pick up points when you aren't playing great. Interesting to note as well, Jim said he changed his formation a few times throughout the game. Credit to him, because maybe a couple of years ago he maybe wouldn't have done that with the personnel that he had. So again, he's changing as a manager. Even 10 years on at Peterhead, he's still changing things. So I think it's one of them. It's pretty easy to criticise Jim as we have done in the past when things aren't going well. But it was a good point, as he said, we didn't play particularly great, some of the players were off. He was changing his formation throughout the game to try and get a point. So overall, I think everybody can be pleased with their day's work, to be honest.
Yeah, and in the end, as he said, it was a clean sheet. It's a point, I think. I know we'd won two games in a row and Falkirk weren't in great form, but I think if we'd been given that at the start of the game, I think we would have taken it.
Yeah, it's 7 points out of 9. We'd lost 5 in the bounce. What is it, 10 points from our last 6 games? Mm-hmm. It's up there with the third best in the league. I think we've got to remember that at one point, you know, 5... Well, after 6 games, we'd won 1 and lost 5, but the win was at the very start of the season. Mm-hmm. So confidence was really low. Yeah. So somebody had said to you, Dumbarton at home, Alloa away and Falkirk at home, you'll get 7 out of 9. Would have bitten your hand off.
Yeah, I think that we would have been rubbing our hands at that prospect. Right, let's get thoughts on a couple of players, and we're going to hear from Grant Savory, but first we'll hear from the man of the match, Brett Long.
Would you put that as one of your better performances in your career?
Yeah, I thought I'd done pretty well today, a few good saves in that, and I'm just delighted we've got a clean sheet and got another point and keep trying to climb that table.
Is it one of those kind of games where everything just seemed to go right for you, you were in the right places?
Yeah, you get days like that where some things sort of go for you and you take a wee step early and you gamble the right way in that, but yeah, we've been working hard in training all week, me, Lenny and Jim, and it's paying off, thankfully.
And is it one of that kind of games that you knew you were going to be maybe busier than normal and you were maybe prepared for it as well?
Well, prepared right every game. Obviously, today it's paid off a wee bit more and I've made a few more saves in that, but now we prepare for every game the same. We do our analysis on the other team and thankfully it's just paid off.
Win played a big part again as it did the last home game. It didn't really seem to make it count second half though. Can you put any sort of reasoning to that? A finger on why maybe we weren't as attacking?
Well, I think obviously when you play likes of Falkirk, sometimes you have to think that you're playing a full-time team and maybe sit back and don't be as advanced as much. The fullbacks sometimes not going forward too high to get caught out, especially a good team like Falkirk. They've got good players that can punish it. Obviously, no disrespect to Dumbarton, but obviously it's a lot harder against Falkirk. They're full time and they're fit and they're very good.
Up at the other end, little chances. I think McLean maybe had the better opportunity. If one of those go in, you sneak a win and you get the 3 points. Obviously, you're much happier, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Rusty had a chance. They've always made a good save, but Rusty's played very well and he's worked his socks off all day, as the rest of the team. And it's a good point to take, especially against a team like Falkirk. And we're just happy to take that point and move on up the table.
Do you pay much attention to the stats? Because I know that you've had the most saves in the league so far before today's game, so obviously you're keeping those up as well. Is that something that you look at?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, if you're making saves, and obviously it's good for you from a personal point of view. Sometimes maybe from the team's point of view, it's not as good. But if I'm doing well, then obviously from a personal point of view and a selfish point of view, it's good for me. Yeah.
Grant, tough game in the end, a good point though, was it?
Yeah, no, it was a good point. I think we fought hard at the end to obviously keep the clean sheet and get the point. I think the boys deserved the point in the end. I think it was definitely a good performance overall.
You got on quite early on, earlier than you might have expected. How did you find it out there today?
No, it was good. Obviously sometimes difficult coming on as a sub, obviously trying to get up to the speed of game and stuff, but felt when I came on, done quite well to start off with, and that kind of settled me in. And no, it was definitely good to get some minutes and get playing, so really enjoyed it. Yeah,
a couple of occasions second half you're almost through as well. Dreaming of the home debut goal there.
Oh no, I was there was one that obviously got called offside that Hank was I was unsure about. I think it was 50-50, could have maybe been onside, but no, it was just not to be today, but definitely we'll be looking to try and add that to my game in the next couple of games and stuff. So,
and how far are you away from getting a full 90 minutes? I know you've been out for a long time. How fit do you feel?
Yeah, no, I feel fitter every week. I think even today will definitely do my fitness a world of good. I think I've been obviously looking to train with the boys, but also do a bit extra to try and kind of get to that level and stuff on my own and kind of do some running and stuff that I definitely feel is paying off. But no, I think that I'm basically there now. I feel fit, I feel fast, so it's just about, yeah, try and get as much game time as possible and try and make an impact, get some goals.
In the Brett Long, that fantastic game, numerous saves, just how good a performance did he have today?
Yeah, no, he was brilliant. Unbelievable saves that obviously kept us in the game. Without him, we could have easily gone down a couple of goals. So no, I think everyone agreed that he was definitely man of the match by far and had a very, very good game.
And just a quick bit about you then, obviously still fairly new, this is your second game. What kind of player are you? What should we expect from you in the future?
Typically I play wing. Obviously here they play sometimes with two up top, one up top, so I'm learning to play kind of a number nine role, as well as obviously knowing how to play wing. But I think I'm quite a fast player that likes to take on, likes to create stuff. I like to also get in behind and try and obviously get goals and add that to my game. But I'd like to say I'm quite a tricky player that's fast enough to get in behind and create.
And you know some of the players before you joined as well, didn't you? So it kind of helped start kind of transition a little bit, is it?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think all the boys have been brilliant with me. They've definitely helped me to settle in and feel part of the team already, which is obviously good considering I've only been here a couple of weeks. But no, I definitely feel like the boys have been great with me.
And for the future, I know you've got a 2-year deal, so it's obviously you've got that kind of security now as well. So it's just a case for you now just to play as much as you can.
Yeah, definitely. I think play as much as I can, and obviously, like I was saying, try and really make an impact and help the team with goals and assists. And I think if the team plays like we did today, but obviously with a bit more luck, I think we can definitely go on to clinch more 3 points and do well in the season.
There's a lot of quality in that sort of final third in the attacking end as well, so you know that it's going to be tough to get into the team. And once you're in, I guess it's up to you if you are in the team to stay there.
Yeah, I think it's obviously important to have that competition. I think if you don't, it's when players can start becoming lazy and stuff. I think you know that when you do get your opportunity to play, that you've got to make an impact and play well to, like you said, stay in the team and stuff for the competition. But no, I think that's obviously something that's healthy and that I enjoy.
So man of match was Brett Long. I think he deserved it. How good was he overall then?
Aye, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Without his saves, goes without saying, you know, would have been, you know, 2-3-0 down early on. Just shows you the difference in a good goalkeeper, his communication throughout the game as well. We mentioned it a couple of weeks back about his positioning as well. He's a bit higher than what I think Josh Ray and Lenny Wilson would be as a starting area, mm-hmm. which allows the whole team in general to push up. The fact that we got him for nothing this summer, I think, is up there with probably one of the best bit of businesses we've done this window.
41 saves in 11 games he's got so far, which is an astonishing start. A really good start in terms of Brett, but it's a bit concerning that it's, you know, and we've still managed to concede, what, 17 or 18 goals, I think it is. But so you can just imagine how heavy some of those defeats might have been. Had it not been for Brett, or even some of those victories that we got as well, might not have happened if it was for Brett. But it's a hell of a start he's got in his PA career.
Yeah, he made a fair few saves. You mentioned that on Saturday, but as you said, the defeats we've had could have been heavier, and the you know, the wins we'd had they conceded in them games, you wouldn't have got it. So I think again, it just shows you the value in a good goalkeeper, but. I think the concerning thing would be the amount of shots that he's facing. You're looking for your team to defend better as a unit, and I felt that on Saturday. I sent through in the commentary that the midfield sort of went AWOL for about 10 minutes in the period that second half, and Falkirk looked dangerous. Whether that's with Scott Brown playing slightly deeper, with Simon Ferry going off injured, there is accumulating factors to it, but nonetheless it's still an area that I think we need to just tighten up in.
We heard from Grant Savory there as well. I know he's only played his second game. What have you made of him so far? What have you seen?
I mean, difficult, as you said, it's only two games in. But he seems, like you said in his piece there, he seems like quite a direct sort of player. He seems like he will be willing to take people on. I think it's the sort of modern-day winger, is it? They're happy to come cut inside or play the short pass, but it's fine to see what you'd maybe call the old-fashioned sort of winger for. Mm-hmm. He gets the ball and he's quite happy to take somebody on, because I don't think you see that too much at this level of football, so it'd be good if he's got that direct nature about him. And he's only going to get better as he gets fitter, and as you and him spoke about on Saturday, he's learning that slightly new role as well. So hopefully it all comes together for him, but a 2-year deal, looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Yeah, he's obviously got, we've got Grant, Jordan Brown still come back, Nia Payne plays there, Ryan Duncan if he ever comes in as well, Darren Kesson's out on loan, so there's a lot of attacking options that is out there, and it's up to these guys to get themselves in the team, and once they're in the team to stay there.
Yeah, the competition is good. Grant mentioned it in his piece there that competition is good because people can get lazy. I think, not saying that players have been lazy in the past, but I certainly think players get too comfortable in their position, sort of feel they're going to get picked every week. So it's good to see that Jim's effectively got two teams now. You look at the bench some weeks and you look at the quality, and you could argue that every player could be playing, and it doesn't affect the team that much, can making it weaker.
Yeah.
It's good that we've got the personnel that Jim can change.
And we've got Lyle Cameron, who just hasn't seemed to hit the heights of last season either yet. He's on the bench, so you know, plenty of options there.
Strange one for Lyle, because he was really, really good this time last year. And then the stop with when they didn't come back in March, I think that's affected him. He's never really kicked on, and as players have come in, you'd imagine that he's really got to stake a claim, or he could find himself being on the bench, which Pierre Hayden didn't want, Lyle doesn't want, I'm sure Dundee didn't want either. So hopefully now Lyle can just get his head down, knuckle down, and you know, try and come on to a good game again.
Okay, final thing on this game then, two words for you then, scout report. If things weren't going well for Falkirk, it really just kind of capped off how bad a week they had, or 10 days that they had. The scout report was obviously found. We can have a laugh and a joke about it, but it, for them, I always say that's quite a serious matter. You know, they've left a document like that, like, just sort of lying about.
On the light-hearted nature and note of it, I think they were right with our scout report on the page that I've seen with Simon mm-hmm. Ferry and Andy McCarthy. But, yeah, the serious matter is it's quite important, and for a club to leave that lying around As you said, if their week couldn't get much worse, you know, that's picked up. And you'd imagine that there should be questions asked. Is it deliberate that it was left for somebody to pick up? You don't know. Is there, you know, they speak about that moles within the camps and all that sort of stuff. You never know, but I'm sure that Paul Sheeran will be really need to find out why that's been left if it's happened.
Maybe then. Just try to take the heat off of the chairman and the board, maybe slightly. I want to ask you one more thing about it. The phrasing of the report specifically on Simon Ferry, and that he looks to bully opposition. I know that's a phrase that it gets used or was used quite a bit in years gone by. I'm just thinking maybe in this kind of day and age that maybe the wording or phrasing could have been a little bit different. I know that's a document that nobody was supposed to see.
Yeah.
It would have been just an internal document, but perhaps maybe if you are maybe Simon Ferry, maybe you should look at that and go, well, that's not what I'm doing.
I certainly think five years ago, that wouldn't have been, wouldn't have bat an eyelid. But I think everything in society is now changing. And I think the word, there could have been a better word for it or a better sentence. I think if you're Simon Ferry, whilst I'm sure, knowing Simon's nature, it wouldn't really bother him. But, you know, certain players may take offence to that, and then it causes, you know, issues further down the line or issues within clubs. As you said, it was probably an internal document that was never meant to be leaked, but, you know, the fact that it has, the wording on that particular piece could have, in my opinion, been better.
It would have been interesting to see what the phrasing and the wording of the rest of the squad of the report would have been, just to see what it would like if there was a consistency through that. But there we go. It obviously didn't work very well for them, and then maybe that's why it was left, because it was just a piece of nonsense. A couple other bits of business before we move on to the next game. Gary Fraser has announced that he's now got his date for his long-awaited surgery. Fantastic news for him. Fantastic news for the club as well, to get his surgery as well, which is just before Christmas, if I remember rightly, which was obviously good for him. So hopefully, by the end of the new year, tail end of February, we might see him playing again.
Yeah, it's been an incredible year for Gary and the things that he's been through, and, you know, mentally how he's coped with this is remarkable. You know, when. Was it the Montrose game just before Christmas last year? The injury happened.
Yeah.
You knew it was serious back then, when the medical staff came on, and I think we sort of got a real insight, you know, in the days and weeks that came after it. But delighted that he's got a date, and as you said, hopefully come February, March sort of time, we'll see Gary back in the squad. But it's good to still see him round about the club. Yeah. I think it'd been quite easy for him just to say he was in the club, got a brother coming up and seeing people, because, you know, it's maybe a bit of a kick for him seeing Abdi else playing football, and he's not getting to it. He's up here with the boys, he's mingling around with the staff and everything, so it's really good to see him. We wish him well.
He did announce that last week on the Back One Side Mental Health Chat podcast. If you haven't heard it, I would highly encourage you to do so. It's quite an eye-opener in terms of what Gary's been through recently and has gone through in his younger days as well. I was listening to it, and I quite often listen to podcasts but can do something else at the same time. I actually stopped what I was doing because I was so engaged with what he was saying, and I was kind of taken aback by just what he's going through. So it was good for him, for him to be so open and honest as well, which must have been difficult for him, considering, as you said, what he's been going through the last year. It's incredible listen. And as I said, if you haven't listened to it, go and do it.
Yeah, it's a really good piece. And as you said, it's one of them that you sort of, I'm like you, I do things whilst I'm listening to a podcast, but it makes you sort of sit up and listen and think just everything that Gary's gone through. And the fact that he's still got a smile on his face every week when he comes to the club, he doesn't walk past anyone without saying hello or something. And it's a lot of things like that that just builds up a character of Gary, and I'll be delighted to see him back in the pitch.
Yeah, we wish him well, and as I said, if you haven't heard it, get on it and get listening to it, because it is quite a listen. One other piece of business then, Scottish Cup draw. We'll obviously touch on it nearer hand the game, but just get the quick reaction on the draw away to Civil Service Strollers. I think it's got banana skin written all over it, isn't it? They are currently sitting fourth in the Lowland League. They knocked Cowdenbeath out in the last round, quite convincingly in the end as well. So, if you're going to a team like this, it's not going to be just as straightforward as what we might think.
No, when you see the draw made, you're like, oh, you know, you're quite happy it's a lower league team. Then you go, but you actually look into their team, and you're looking at where they are on the table and who they've beaten before and some of the results lately. As you said, banana skin written all over it. It's not going to be as easy as people think. And I certainly think it's one of them games where you might have potentially lost it before you've even kicked a ball, depending on how you are. You know, your build up and your psychological and your mental state going into the game.
I think we might have preferred to play Cowdenbeath and the Civil Service. But as I said, we'll probably touch on that nearer hand the time. But
it's a tongue twister of a team as well.
Yeah, I know. It's quite a difficult one to say. Anyway, so next game this weekend, Montrose. Another tough one, as we always kind of say, but Montrose doing reasonably well again, as they have been in recent seasons. Sitting fourth, 1 point off the joint leaders on 19 points. So it'll be another tough game for us.
Yeah, Montrose are a bit of a boldy side. I felt we were harshly done at Lynx Park, the penalty as well last time. But there doesn't appear to be many goals at Balmore when the two teams come up against each other. So I think the first goal, if there is to be a first goal in the game, will be crucial. And you're looking for the referee need to give a penalty, because the Graham Webster is very convincing from the spot. He's shown that throughout the last couple of years. So you're looking for a good performance, but on the back of, we weren't great against Falkirk, but we got the point. It's just enough to keep momentum going. And as you said, Montrose, they're not far off top of the table either. But you know, if we get a win and beat them, you know, you sort of put your name in the hat as well.
Yeah, the results in the last four games has been 1-1, 0-0, 1-0 win Montrose, and a 1-1. If you're looking for goals, this is certainly the game to be coming to. But it does just show you how tight it is. And we go back to the last game last season. It was 1-1. It was two penalties that it was scored. So there's obviously going to be it is going to be tight. And it's much like the game against Falkirk. There'll be spells where we just don't have the ball at all, and we just need to be disciplined and controlled.
Yeah, that's maybe fit. We didn't do well enough on Saturday against Falkirk. From we didn't hit the ball, we were trying to win it back in areas of the pitch that you really shouldn't be trying to press as much. I think if we do that against Montrose, we will be punished. But when you've got Brett Long and goals in the form that he's in, you know, you fancy yourself to get something from the game.
Yeah, there's been no wins in the last five. No wins in five. Then they've got two in a bounce from Montrose, and they've scored nine of those two wins as well, a 5-0 and a 4-2, I think it was. So plenty of goals. Our old friend Graham Webster, he's got 9 and 10 this season. So you know, he always seems to pop up with a goal against us as well.
Yeah, but Montrose Peterhead games is normally where you get goal of the season contenders. Hopefully it's for us. But I'm anticipating, like we say most weeks, it's going to be a tough game. But I think the first goal will be sort of setting how the game will go, I think.
Yeah, we mentioned, Jim mentioned in the audio there that obviously it looks as though Niall Payne is going to be out for what we think might be an extended period. Well, in ligaments, Simon Ferry should be back. You know, Ferry being back into the team is obviously going to be good, but Payne's going to be a mess though.
Yeah, well, absolutely. As I said earlier on, he gives you that pace that Russell McLean does now. I think they were maybe starting to form a partnership with the two of them. And Nate Haham in the squad is going to be difficult, but it opens the door for somebody else to come in. As we've said, that we've got a big enough squad now that should be able to cope with it. And again, it's maybe players like Grant Savory that'll come in and play either just off McLean or up top with him. And you know, players coming in, it's a chance for them to show that they are good enough to be playing. It's unfortunate for Naya, but again, it opens a door for someone else to come in and stake a claim.
Yeah, and this is the last game of October, and then we're going to November, and November's going to be tough as well. So it's making the home advantage count and trying to get as many points as you can, because you know your next two is away from home again. So yeah, I think if we sat here a couple of weeks ago and said we're potentially going to get 4 points out of those two games against Falkirk and Montrose, I think we'd be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Going on, you know, and that's after the Dumbarton game in Alloa. So to take, if we do get the win on Saturday, be 4 points from the last two, and again, I go back to like the form that we're on earlier on in the season, it was a disaster. So the fact that I think we have come on leaps and bounds since then, you said it as well, that you felt that give it another month, the players been in and everybody gelling and training together, it would come together. I think we're starting to see that. And again, another game on Saturday and everything just gelling together. You're hopeful of the 3 points.
And it would be nice to see Rusty scoring a goal against his old club rather than Webster scoring against his old club.
Yeah, you see so many times if your players coming back to haunt their old club, and I'm sure Russell McLean would love to get in the score sheet.
Yep, so hopefully we continue on the form and get another win. But that is it for us for this week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week for potentially what is our 100th episode. So hopefully we're still going for that. But on behalf of Martin Swift and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening. Stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.